It's the CougarFan.com Rising Shot Podcast, episode 275. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. The Rising Shot Podcast is a weekly BYU sports conversation between myself and my brother Matt, and occasionally some other guests. In this week's episode, Matt and I talk about Jemmer Fredette, cast as the lonely master of Chinese basketball. We explore the potential BYU football depth chart, and we worry about the state of men's basketball without Eric Mika. We also do our annual, highly anticipated Major League Baseball preview, which we save for the end so that you can stop listening if you want, or, you know, listen to it at like 3x speed or 1/2 speed. Maybe that will be more entertaining. This is the CougarFan.com Rising Shot Podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us at Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And listen to us right now. Matt, you're not the only one out there who's recently found out they're a geek.
Whoa, easy now.
You're a geek. Stop with the denial. You don't need to deny it. So we have a tweetbag question.
Tweetbag.
From Jeremy Ashton. This is what Jeremy has to say. And he says, "You've convinced me that I am a full geek now."
Wow.
Since I love...
He's just diving right in.
That's right. "Since I love Star Wars, superhero movies, and playing board games." When did this happen to me? Jeremy, it's probably been true your whole life.
Yep.
You were just taught that being a geek was bad. And it's not. We rule the world, Matthew. Anyway, he said he didn't see it coming. This is a very good segue into advertising for my other podcast, Bleep the Podcast, because he then goes on to say that he enjoyed the interview with James Dashner. And so you should check that out. You can check that out at on Twitter at Bleep Podcast. You can also check it out and get it. Stream it at bleepthepodcast.podbean.com. So go check it out. We did a Pixar movie draft in our first episode, and in our second episode, we did a I did an interview with James Dashner, who wrote The Maze Runner. So go check it out. And Jeremy, it's okay. It's okay that you're a geek. And he said now he's already gotten all of his BYU loving friends and family listen to the podcast, and that's true. It like happened overnight. All of a sudden, like half the people texting us, and I mean texting, tweet bagging with us, were like Ashton's. Like happened overnight.
It's like a family reunion.
And was he Gary? Did Gary Payne come from that branch of the tree?
I do not know.
I can't remember. I think that might be true, or I'm just making stuff up.
Yeah, the Payne train might have come into the station Alamon at some.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's certainly, and we'll get to, he will make an appearance later. So we will see. So Matt, let's get on to the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News.
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. It puts all the articles that you want, Matt, right in one place.
Isn't that convenient?
From the
isn't that what 2017 is all about?
That's right. Convenience. That's right. From the Des News, Salt Lake Tribune, Daily Herald, blogs, all sorts of stuff. And you can find our podcast, a list of all of our recent episodes there too.
Machines are taking over.
That's right. The machines are taking over. Hey, are you cool with like burger flipping machines?
Oh, 100%.
Not to get too political or economical, but this is what happens when you raise the minimum wage, folks. It's just how it works, right? You know, you make robots to make cars. They make robots to make burgers. And soon, you know, it's going to be like the Jetsons, man. How excited are you about not having to physically shave your face when a robot will just shave your face?
Don't really shave consistently anyway, but...
Okay, your noggin.
That'd be nice. If they can do it without cutting my head, that'd be great. I'd be a little bit nervous about letting a robot get on the scalp.
They'll be way better than a human being. Way more precise.
I haven't cut my head since I was a teenager.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
That's pretty good.
Well, you also have... You do, and this is true. You know, I make fun of
course, I haven't been shaving it consistently that entire time, but...
Yeah, your mission, for example. You weren't
and most skinny. And most of college, but other than that.
So I make fun of you a lot on this show. We're brothers, that's what we do. you know. But I will say this legitimately. It's a good bald head. Like, mine, when I go really short, I got, like, craters. I look like the surface of Mars, right? So you know, it makes sense that you weren't cutting yourself. Me, I'd be, like, hacking myself up. But luckily, I have luscious head of hair, Matt, so I don't have to worry about them. So what were we talking about? Cougars in the news?
I think that's where we started this.
Ooh.
It was a rabbit hole.
Yeah, there we go.
Got away from us there.
Men's volleyball closes off the regular season, Matt, this week with UC Santa Barbara. They're ranked number 3 in the RPI, though, at NCAA.com. I noticed they are actually the first team, according to the RPI. So we'll be watching them closely because I think they've got a shot here at a national title. Matt, we're now going to talk about the Lonely Master.
Oh.
I assume you have seen the ESPN video in its entirety about Jimmer Fredette.
Yes.
What was your impression of that ESPN video about the Lonely Master?
I just thought the whole conversation, it was just cool to see the conversation go somewhere beyond BYU Twitter.
Right. Yeah, and did you enjoy watching the highlights of it?
Oh, you gotta love Jimmer highlights. Who doesn't love Jimmer highlights?
I can't think of anybody that I know that doesn't like.
But
Jimmer
does this?
Highlights.
But does this really? Does this just? Is this highlight the fact that this is the right place for him?
So
and he should just live it up.
So his brother was quoted in a separate NBA story saying that he should stay in China. Matt, I agree with his brother on this, and I'll tell you why. And we've talked about this a little bit, but I think it's grown since then. Jimmer Fredette will have, through his college career, he already did, but will build on a legacy of basketball that could, no joke, put him in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I think his impact in China could be that big. Billions of people in what is, in a lot of respects, at least in total numbers, the second biggest basketball-loving nation in the country behind the U.S., right? Mm-hmm. That's probably not true on a percentage level with some of the European countries where it's somewhat popular. I think he has a massive impact. If he does make an NBA roster at some point and sits towards the end of the bench and plays occasionally, there's no impact, right? He's just another guy at the end of an NBA roster. If he's in China, putting up the numbers he put up and having the impact, it seems like from a pop culture standpoint, he's a legend, right?
And,
we're not talking about he's a legend in Yugoslavia, which doesn't exist anymore, I know. We're talking about he's a legend in China. So what do you think?
I'd go for it.
Yeah.
That's where he's got the best shot. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, if you look at kind of what Yao Ming's trying to do with this league and really what the opportunity may look like there, I'd just milk it.
Yeah, Yao Ming has stated in a separate ESPN story that he basically wants to turn that China Basketball Association, the CBA, into an elite league. Make it not totally dissimilar from the NBA on the other side of the world. But obviously, they've got a long way to go. If you watch some of those Jimmer highlights, those are not big gyms he's playing in. It looks like the WCC, actually, a little bit. Excuse me, in gym size. So, I don't know, man. I think he stays. I think he should stay. As far as international basketball goes, a couple other BYU guys have been out doing the international thing, including Brandon Davies in the, let me make sure I get this right. Go ahead.
He's in Monaco.
Monaco, yes, in France, the Pro A League, averaging 9.6 points and 4.9 rebounds and 1.6 assists. And then, of course, Tyler Hawes, Matt, in Poland, missed a couple of months, but has come back and is averaging 10 points and, shooting 91% from the free throw line. A few other guys also out there as well, but you know, I hats off to these guys. Charles Abuo, who's I really enjoyed watching him play when he was at BYU too. He's averaging 9.8 points, 3.6 boards a game in France in the Pro B League. So hats off to these guys for keeping it rolling. You know, if this is what they want to do, you know, there are opportunities outside of the NBA and outside of the U.S., so good for them. All right, Matt, it's time for spring football. Now, we're actually...
spring football.
We're going to shift to something a little on the more serious side here for a second. So a story has recently been making the rounds of... let's see. It's been making a rounds of from about Tanner Mangum. And the Deseret News had a story talking about how he shares on Twitter, shared some of his mental health struggles and that he's suffered from depression. And, you know, he's been getting a lot of positive press on Twitter, both inside and outside of the BYU sports community, about his own, a little bit about his own struggles and where he's been at. You know, we have some family members who've dealt with depression. I've dealt with it myself. And I think this is great that a young, popular athlete is coming out and saying something positive about it, trying to get rid of the stigma that surrounds this. And I thought it was great and makes me like Tanner Mangum even more, Matt.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you look at, they were doing Mental Health Awareness Week at BYU, and I thought it was a good opportunity for him to share. I mean, there's two important pieces that I think to what he did. You know, the first is kind of giving a face to something that some people might not have a lot of exposure to or know much about, but also pointing out to people that, you know, that if they are suffering from some type of a mental illness, that they're not the only person who's struggling with that they know or that's around them.
Yeah.
And that, and there are places they can go to help and things that they can do, to work through that. And so, you know, for somebody in his position with his type of a platform to do that, I think is great. And I think it takes some level of courage, to take that to social media and share that with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. He said, I liked his quote that this might be surprising to many due to my normally optimistic, outgoing, and happy personality. And I think that's great that he's pointing out that, you know, a lot of times those struggles happen outside of what people might be able to see, you know. And yeah, if you were to predict that this happy-go-lucky seeming guy suffer from mild depression and anxiety, you might not think that off the surface. So I'm with you. I thought it was great. So that, you know, spring practice is wrapped up, so there's not any more, you know, stories about what's happening in spring practice. So now we're stuck in let's go back to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So this is on Twitter. You can tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. You can also get in the tweet bag by doing it on Facebook at facebook.com.
Get in the tweet bag.
Get
on in there.
Get in the tweet bag.
Come on in, everybody.
Room get in the for tweet everybody. Bag. It's room get, for everybody. You can do
get
it on
in the bag right now.
Well, you're starting to get weird. Facebook.com/
put the tweet bag over your head.
It's like Taken. You have certain skills, right?
It's like those. You know, I saw that I'm way off the track now, but I don't know if anybody listens to the podcast. This I think was on This American Life. They did one on grand gestures. And they did a whole section of their podcast. One of the people who works on it is from Springville, Utah, maybe. I don't remember where she was from, but they went back to her high school and they talked to all of these kids about ways they were asking people out on dates.
Oh, gosh.
And they followed this one. They followed one kid on their way to kidnap. They were going to kidnap a girl to ask her out to prom or something, and they did another one where the guy like sent a girl on a scavenger hunt and they followed him around, and I was like, the rest of the world like is listening to this thinking these kids are nuts, but it's so normal, like, and it's kind of a Utah thing that gets permeated through LDS culture in other parts of the country, right? But yeah, anyway, so I just wondered if people thought it was crazy that kids were kidnapping each other to ask each other to prom. And now I've come full circle back to the tweet bag. And so not that we're going to kidnap anybody.
We're not going to keep back. We're not going to tweet kidnap bag anyone.
I think you just go with tweet nap.
Tweet nap. Yes, of course you do. We're not going to tweet nap anybody. All right. So Hector asked this. This is Hector Lives. That's at Nilotto on Twitter. And by the way, you kept interrupting me. You can also email the show at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Okay. So he says, what the heck are we to do between now and football season? Exclamation point. ! Hashtag tweet bag. Matt, what is Hector and the rest of us supposed to do between now and football season?
Baseball?
Baseball.
Is it not obvious?
We'll be doing our MLB preview here coming up, which means most of you will tune out once that starts. And we'll set off like an alarm to let you know. It'll be baseball from there on out. There's not really, if we're talking BYU sports, basically all we do from now until the end is we project stuff. Right? That's all we do.
Yeah.
We look at the schedule.
You sit here and you build up your expectations and your hopes.
Yes, yes. All to be potentially dashed to the ground against LSU. But we'll see. We'll see. So, Matt, one thing that was projected, lawlessrepublic.com, they projected the football captains, okay? They gave – tell me what you think of this list. Tanner and Caroma as the captains on offense. And then on defense, Fred Warner for sure, and then they're saying either Hanneman or Powell.
I'd probably land Warner and Powell on defense.
I think it's Warner and Powell. I think you're right. I don't know about Caroma.
He's the biggest, strongest guy on the offense.
Yeah, but he's had a few issues from a leadership standpoint. I don't know. You know, it'd be great. Nakua was a captain last year, if I remember right, and he had had some issues. So maybe it's not strange. I think Tanner being a captain.
He did not pick that fight.
Who? Caroma?
Nakua.
Nakua cheap-shotted somebody. The beach ball brawl. Nakua cheap-shotted the wrong guy.
Yeah, they started it.
They started it. I'm with you. You know, Caroma's had a few incidences, not just one. But that being said, I'd be cool with all those folks. Is there anybody else do you think that would be a candidate for a captain's spot? You know, I look at this list. I'm not sure there is. It's a young team. Right?
It's a young team. I don't know what other option they've got.
Another one of the offensive linemen, maybe a Kanuch. I'm looking at the defensive side of the ball. It's a young group, right? Obviously you've got Warner, but Tausinga, I don't know. I don't know who else could be it. And of course, you know, I think you've got to make Johnny Linehan a captain somewhere. You know, Johnny Rugby's got to be in there. I don't know. We'll see.
Is there a special teams captain? Did we do that?
I don't know. I can't remember, honestly. Does anybody pay attention to who the special teams captain? Isn't it always the kicker or the punter?
Do we have anybody on special teams other than Linehan? Are there other special teamers?
That are just do special teams? The kicker.
I'm just kidding.
The kicker does it.
Sure. Long snapper.
All right. So Matt, rivals.com did a projected post spring practice depth chart by Mitch Harper. So Mitch Harper put his depth chart together. You've got the link. Anything surprise you on this list? I mean, obviously Tanner Mangum's the starting quarterback. Spoiler alert there. There's a couple surprises for me. If you want, I can start.
I closed it by accident. Now I've got to wait for it to
work. All right. This is high quality podcasting.
Are you there?
He has. Yeah. Are you there?
Sorry, I thought I lost you for a second.
Nope. Unfortunately, we're still connected.
Really awkward. Is this going to be in the show? Going to be in the show?
Oh, we're leaving it in. Tanner Baldery will not be the starting tight end.
No, Come on.
It's Bushman or
no, it's Bushman.
MLP. So
it's Bushman or Bust.
Bushman or Bust. Yeah, I don't know that that's true.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't have any major issues with this. I mean, Harper's obviously Mitch Harper's just putting together what he believes is the case at the moment, and things can change in fall camp rapidly. Injuries, performance, other things like happened with the offensive line last year when we had a couple of guys leave the team. So, you know, there's some things that can happen. I will say this, Matt. I am very curious as to who's returning kickoffs and punts. Right now, he's got Treneman and Hadley.
I'll tell you right here.
Well, that's who he's got. He's got Treneman and Matt Hadley returning kicks and Tanner Jacobson or Micah Hanneman returning punts. You know, I don't know who's going to do it, but I'll be very interested to see if we can get some dynamic plays out of special teams on the return game.
Yeah, I would have gone with Treneman, but Hanneman as the punt returner is, I think, pretty likely.
Yeah, I don't think he did great. I'd have to go back and look at the stats, but he's had some.
Eventually, I'd like to see Dye in there.
That's what I'm saying. Get Dye in there. Get KJ Hall. What about KJ Hall? He's got some escapability on a punt return.
I can take that.
He is small, and if somebody connects, they might knock him into next week. But
that's fine because we don't play again until next week.
That's right. Ula, I actually had just this crazy thought of what if you put Ula Tolutau as the punt returner? Think anyone's going to lie? You think some, what do they call those guys on the edge that rush in punts?
Some guys are going to come tearing. Yeah, some guys are going to come tearing down the field thinking he's going to lay a lick on him.
Yeah.
He's going to bounce right off.
Yeah, he's going to bounce right off. Some, you know, 165-pound defensive back is going to just, like, try to take him out, and it's just going to be bonk.
Yeah, that would be pretty funny.
That might be funny, but they're not going to do that. So, nor do I actually. By the way, sometimes I feel like I do have to explain. I'm not being serious, guys. I don't think he should be returning punts. All right. Matt, in news that was not a surprise to me at all, Kafusi is going to quit basketball and play football first full-time.
Phew, finally.
I'm a little disappointed on this, quite frankly, in some ways, because I really think we could use him on the basketball team.
Especially if Mika goes pro.
Yes, we'll get to that here in a minute. You know, so this was reported by first, I believe, by ESPN 960, and that he has no intention of playing basketball again. I mean, he hardly played in basketball last year, right? I mean, he played tiny amounts, and quite frankly, sometimes I'm not sure why. I thought he would play more when he got out there, but it's tough to come in middle of the season. Just is. Right?
Yeah, and I think if you're him, you got to weigh your options, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Think about what if I guess it depends on what you're trying to do, but if you're trying to get to the next level, you got to look at the two and think, okay, where am I more likely to make the jump?
Yeah, yeah, and
he was not in basketball. It just wasn't going to.
No, no. I mean, he had a chance. He had a chance, obviously, in football. He has a chance. I don't know if it's a good chance at this point. I don't know that he's shown enough yet, but certainly he's gonna give it a try this weekend. So Matt, Deseret News also had a really interesting article by Leif Peevler about the storylines out of all of our opponents' camps. We're not going to go through it all. For example, I really don't care what the storylines out of Portland State. Nothing personal.
They have spring football at Portland State? They do that?
Yeah, I believe they do. So they mentioned a few things out of LSU, including you know, some transfers. There are 3 fifth-year seniors on LSU's defensive line. That doesn't make me feel good.
No, that's going to be a tough one.
And then that the offensive players are excited about new offensive coordinator Matt Canada's offense. So a lot of stuff going on there right now. you know, they've got a quarterback battle. They got a lot of things going on in LSU. I think that works in our favor because there's still going to be. I know Orgeron took over midseason, but there's still going to be some transition stuff, and it will be their first game. So could play to our advantage.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I listen to a lot of Baton Rouge sports talk radio just because of geography. Yeah. And it is all the ESPN Baton Rouge station talks about is LSU sports. There's not really a quarterback battle here. It's gonna be Etling, and I think that, you know, some of the transition stuff. I mean, Orgeron's been there for a while. You know, there will be putting in a new system and things, but like you said, I mean, you got 3 fifth-year seniors on the defensive line.
Yeah, the defense is going to be solid. What their offense, how they will perform in that first game, I have no idea. New coordinator, don't know who the quarterback's going to be. Unless you've heard something on these.
It'll be Etling. I'm telling you now.
You'll be Etling.
I think they know that. And I think they know that.
Okay.
But it looks like they're doing different stuff. You know, Geis could be, looks as he's going to line up in receiver a little bit. Maybe that's a pretty explosive player right there, but it sounds like they're going to use them in a couple different situations. So you are installing new schemes, and anytime you're doing that, even if you are coming back to Etling, you know, or you've got some returning players, installing new schemes is always tricky offensively.
Yeah, for sure. Utah has a quarterback battle between Troy Williams and Tyler Huntley, and a lot of other questions. A new offensive coordinator in Troy Taylor. Matt, I think they're a little bit in disarray, and I think our defense is going to eat them up.
I agree here. I think they are in a little bit of disarray.
On the offensive side. I think their defense will be solid, but there's a lot of questions there. Wisconsin, Matt, they're still looking for a quarterback, and there might be this wasn't mentioned, but there's, I can't remember his name, the Notre Dame transfer. It'll come to me here in a second. It's still
Rudy Rudiger.
Yes, that's right. No.
Joe Montana.
He's transferring to BYU. He got 1 year of eligibility left. You know,
he was offsides. Raghib Ismail.
He was not offsides. You take that back.
I just like to say it. It's just funny to say it.
It's a great T-shirt at Purdue. Anyway, there are some. Alex Hornibrook is the likely starter quarterback there. Anyway, there's some storylines there. That we're not going to go into much. Utah State kind of bored me reading it, so I'm done. Boise State, they've also got a lot of questions. And, you know, right now, Matt, this is not the Boise State program that existed a few years ago. I'm not saying they can't get back to that quality, but this isn't the same dominant team. And I think we just need to keep that in mind as we you know, they'll still be a tough win, but this isn't LSU and Wisconsin. And a few years ago, it would have been like LSU or Wisconsin, right? In quality of opponent.
I don't know if I'd go quite that far.
Are you now an SEC homer?
They were. No, you threw Wisconsin in there.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, but I don't know if I'd go quite that far. But yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, this is a team where you're thinking, oh yeah, this is a top 10. You know, top 10 team, and but I don't. This year, I don't think that's what they're looking at in Boise.
No, not at all.
But they got their blue turf still.
They got their blue turf. Matt, Mississippi State may be the most intriguing team on our schedule. Lots of interesting things happened in their camp, and you know that article we talked about a couple weeks ago about us being a potential Cinderella team. We mentioned that Mississippi State is on there. Matt, to me, the Bulldogs could be anywhere from a top 10 team contending for a New Year's Day Bowl, or heck, if things broke right, I don't think this is likely because of the SEC and the schedule they play, a national championship, type of season, to, quite frankly, a middling year. I think they've got enough talent, and they play in the schedule that they play, if they win a bunch of games, will put them there. And to me, that makes that game very dangerous for BYU.
Yeah, see, that one could be on so far across the spectrum.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not going to talk about any of the storylines from any of the other camps. Don't care.
Well, you don't want to get into East Carolina spring ball?
I do not. Or Fresno State. Jeff Tedford is their new head coach. So
the Running Rebels.
Running Rebels.
The Minutemen.
No, I don't want to talk about any of these folks. Anyway, so let's move on. Matt, staying with football a little bit. There was an article in the Salt Lake Tribune by Steve Pierce. That's a different guy. Scott D. Pierce on the Salt Lake Tribune talking about what the Mountain West and BYU should do for TV going forward. I'm going to ignore the Mountain West. I don't care what they do with their TV going forward, but obviously Utah-based paper, they care about such a thing. So I will say this, Matt. BYU's TV contract expires in 2018 with ESPN. ESPN has an option for 2019. I'll give you the scenario. Let's say ESPN decides not to exercise that option for 2019. Okay?
Okay.
What should BYU do?
Oh.
Find, renegotiate with ESPN or another network, do it on their own. Like, what is your take on that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough call. That's a really tight spot you get in at that point.
Yeah. That's a really tough spot.
I don't know that I have the answer to that.
I don't know that I have the answer to that either. The thing is, you with ESPN, you have exposure that, you know, I've heard people talk about, well, they could just broadcast all their games on BYU TV. Yeah, except how do you generate revenue? Right? Like, I know they sell some commercials
and
stuff.
You don't make money. No, you're not making the same kind of revenue off of commercials of Vacation in St. George as you do off your TV deal with ESPN, right?
No, you do not. So, I mean, the TV deal with ESPN is estimated at what, you know, how many millions of dollars a year, right? 3 to 5 million is what the estimate is. Obviously, right. ESPN or BYU has never explicitly said that. And looking at this year, ESPN is only making BYU do one that we know of so far, one Thursday game, right? Or is it a Friday game with Boise?
I'd have to go back and look.
So anyway,
well, they're always going to be a Friday game.
Yes. And Friday games are fine. It's the midweek games. Like in this article, Scott Pierce talks about how the MAC ends up playing a ton of games on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And, you know, it's funny because he says he mentions that, you know, the Mountain West isn't in any better negotiating position than the MAC. That is not true. There's a reason the Mountain West gets more per team than the MAC does. I mean, if you go in Big Ten country, these schools are highly secondary in most of the MAC, right? As opposed to in the Mountain West, you've got teams that are, if not primary in their market, a lot more significant, right? Like a Colorado State. I'm not saying they're huge, but it's different than the MAC. But that being said, Matt, I think this will be intriguing. I don't know if you saw today, but Amazon looks like they're going to get the streaming rights to Thursday Night Football for the NFL.
Isn't that crazy?
I think there is a possibility that BYU ends up doing a hybrid type of thing where they broadcast some games on BYU TV, and then they have a streaming partner of some kind. Now, I don't think that's as good as ESPN in the short term, but you know we're not going to be watching sports like we do today, even probably 5 years from now, right?
Like it's probably true.
It's morphing, so I don't know. My guess is though, if I had to predict, BYU and ESPN sign another deal. That's my guess.
Yeah, who knows what the timeline on that looks like, right? How long that goes out, but I don't think this is the last ESPN contract.
No, I don't think so either. And I think if it's not with ESPN, then they go and sign with somebody else. You know, Fox, CBS Sports, somebody else. So Matt, let's talk basketball, men's basketball. So Fox Sports has this article that has caused a ripple through BYU sports fandom. Okay? So they did their way too early top 25, which I absolutely love these, right? They're way too early, right? And, of course, if you look at the top of his list, it's, you know, it's the folks that you would expect to have in there, you know, some of the best teams in the country with all the top recruits. But then at number 22, Matt, you'll notice BYU Cougars.
And they're using Mika's picture in there.
And they're using Mika's picture, which clearly, but in the little write-up, the author clearly anticipates that Mika will come back. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. But Matt, were you surprised to see this?
Shocked. Surprise doesn't even, cover it.
I was very surprised.
I don't even know what to do with it. Did they not watch any of this season? I don't understand it.
Yeah. That being said, sometimes though, and this is true, we've talked about this on the show before in football, sometimes having a national person say something like this, a national writer, now they may just be way off, but sometimes you look at it and you go, maybe they're seeing what we don't. Meaning they didn't have the expectations of this young team being a tournament team, right? And young teams often make a leap one year to the next, right? And so that's obviously what this writer's thinking. Matt, Gonzaga and St. Mary's were 7 and 15 on this list. Now, I think Gonzaga, that's way too high.
You don't think they're like top 10?
No. Karnowski and Matthews are gone. If Williams, Goss, and Collins come back, then they'll be fine. But Collins right now, I'm seeing in some mock drafts, he's a mid-first round guy.
Yeah, I think he probably goes.
And he played well in the tournament. I think he's gone. Williams, Goss, I don't see him. I have not seen him on any draft boards. But I think his stock went up in the tournament for sure. If both of those guys were to happen to come back, yes, I think they're top 10 because I think they're that good. I think they're top 25, though. I think the other interesting one is St. Mary's. They don't really lose anybody. I mean, that's not true, but Landale comes back, Gnarr, they're going to be good again, Matt. They might be even better. Which means we really need Eric Mika to come back. Right? Like, because you're going to have to be that third team out of the WCC to make the tournament. You're going to have a great regular season.
Yeah.
You know, if you finish third in the WCC, you're going to either have to win the conference tournament or it's just like, well, yeah, but they're all top 20 teams, so we're taking all three of them. You know what I mean? You can't be a 40th. You can't be a team in the 40s. You just won't get it. You won't get the nod. Or you put yourself in a position where you may not. So, Matt, Gary Payne, that's at FastBreakGP on Twitter, asked this. Pre-Sean Bradley to the NBA, BYU was ranked top 5 or top 10. Okay. Preseason rank without Mika, and then we'll get to a second question here in a bit.
We've done this second question before.
We have done it, and you and I.
But we'll do it again.
We'll do it again. Matt, without Mika, are we a top 50 team? I don't think so. We weren't this year with him.
Nope.
Or we were borderline in that respect. Without Mika, we're not. With Mika, Matt, do you think we're a top 25 team?
Nope.
Or you think we're a top 40 team?
Maybe. I think they're in that 40 to 50 range. I think you're a tournament team.
Celius adds
Yep.
Something pretty significant. So a few other newcomers. I think Hawes will be better. We've talked about all those things before. I don't know that Mika's leaving, and we talked about this last week. I don't think Mika's leaving will have the same, like, absolutely devastating effect on the program that Sean Bradley's leaving did. Number one, I think Coach Rose is not an idiot, and probably as the season progressed, probably thought in his head that this was a possibility that he would at least kick the tires on this.
Right.
The Bradley thing caught everybody off guard in the BYU program. They had built that team to basically plug Bradley in for 1 year and go for a championship, and the NBA deciding to change to go to the rookie salary cap the next year basically blew all that up, because Bradley had to go in and get as much money as he could. Well, I shouldn't say had to. He could have done what he wanted, but made it pretty reasonable. But Matt, I'm here to tell you right now, he's coming back. After last week, when I said he wasn't, I think he's coming back.
Well, you're all over the place.
Well, there have now been several mock drafts by pretty reputable sources since he made his declaration, and I don't see him in a single one.
Good news for Cougars.
I said this during the season. He's got some things to work on to be an NBA player on both sides of the floor, but mainly on defense. Against really good big guys, he sometimes struggled with footwork. Landale sometimes made him look a little silly with some of his moves. Now, he got better as the season progressed, and as we've talked about before, all it takes is one team to tell him, hey, we're going to take you in the late first round, and everything I just said disappears, and it doesn't matter what he has to work on.
Right, but at the same time, and I know you can't look at it this way if you're him, right? If there's an opportunity, someone's going to take you, I think you have to go. But there is a difference between being ready to get drafted and being ready to compete.
Correct. Correct.
You know, I think he may be in the former category, right? He may be at a place where somebody's going to decide, yeah, we're going to take him and see what we can do with him. But I'd agree with your point. I'm not sure he's ready to compete at that level. I don't know that he has all the tools yet.
I don't know either. Now, he improved so much this year versus where he was before his mission. And even throughout the year, because, you know, statistically you may look at it and go, well, actually he was kind of the same. He started the year putting up all those numbers where everybody, remember, we thought this was kind of going to be Nick Emery's team, right? Like at the beginning of the year, you and I talked about who's going to lead this team in scoring. We both said Nick Emery. So I don't think we were alone in that. I don't think we were being crazy. You had this big man coming right off his mission, and, you know, how good would he be right off the bat and all those things. And obviously he was really, really good. But throughout the year, he was then playing through double teams. He was then playing through a lot of other stuff that he didn't have at the beginning of the year. So he really improved. And I think that's the thing where another year could really help him. Now, again, like I said, if somebody in the mid or late first round says, we're going to take you, he's got to go. So I'm not a dummy. I'm not even trying to convince it as if he listens to this podcast that he shouldn't be doing what he's doing. He should absolutely be throwing his hat in, right? But yeah. I don't know. I was in a state of depression last week about it. This week I'm thinking there's a pretty good chance he doesn't end up going. That we get him back for one more year.
I think there's a couple things, right? I mean, you look at the drafts that are out there by some pretty reputable sources. You know, and they're talking to teams when they're putting that stuff out there. But you just don't know what somebody's going to put in for the feedback that he gets outside of this. Now, if you're him, you've got to evaluate all of this, right?
Right.
And make a decision around it. But, I'd tell you, it'd be pretty tempting if he were to get some type of indication.
Yeah.
Or any indication at all that there was something there for him. I think it'd be hard to walk away.
I think so, Matt. Well, the second part of Gary Payne's question was Jason Bourne versus James Bond. Bourne. Done.
Yeah, that's not even a question. Bourne had killed Bond before you finished asking it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Didn't even see him coming. Nope. Matt, best James Bond. Do you have a favorite James Bond?
Oh, man. I can't. We're doing this?
Daniel Craig? We're gonna
have this conversation again?
Pierce Brosnan?
You know I haven't seen any Bond films.
I know. I'm just...
We're doing this again.
Just messing with you. It's fun. I can't believe you haven't seen any Bond movies.
This is going to generate some more discussion. I think it was Sweeney last time, or somebody listed out, this is the order you need to watch them in, and I was going to do it over Christmas, and yeah, we were moving, and there was the flu. It was terrible. So I don't know when I'm going to get that done. But I agree. I need to get that done. I need to get Harry Potter done. I got a lot to do.
We used to play that GoldenEye video game all the time. I just assumed you had seen some of those movies.
Nope.
Used to do some good brotherly bonding, as we called it. So, and by the way, Gary did use hashtag tweetbag, hashtag painbag.
Painbag.
As he likes to do. So, Matt, there was a national championship game that Gonzaga was in.
Yeah, there was.
So, I've got three questions for you about that game. All right,
what do you got?
Question number one. How bad was the officiating?
The officiating was below average.
It was below average. But both ways, right?
Yeah, it was just weird. It was just weird.
Super inconsistent.
I go back. You've made this point 100 times. And maybe you're going to get to this, so stop me if I'm jumping ahead of us. But bad officiating like that, what does it lead to? You put the star players on the bench, and then the game's decided in the final minutes by a bunch of second string guys just trying to hang on.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we waited all season for?
I wanted to see Zach Collins at the end of the game.
Yeah, we waited all season so that Collins could foul out on some ticky-tack inconsistent calls. And you don't have your best players out there to compete?
The offensive foul where he was trying to get position, like, I've never seen, quite frankly, I don't know if I've ever seen a worse call. Like, he's just standing there.
That's pretty strong language. That's pretty strong language, Adam.
I know. We watched a lot of WCC.
Ever seen
games.
A worse call? Ever seen a worse call?
You know, and people made a big deal, and it is a big deal, that Meeks' hand was on the end line.
Not on the end line. He was a foot out of bounds.
Yeah, he was out of bounds.
His hand was a foot out of bounds. And he was, somehow, I think he was resting it on the leg of some guy in the third row. He was that. It was that far out of bounds.
And somehow the ref who's standing right there misses it. I don't know how that happens. But to me, the biggest problem, Matt, was at one point in that second half, they were averaging a foul every 40 seconds. It's just
you can't watch it.
It was the first, I don't know if it was the first 10 or 15 minutes, I thought this is going to be the most entertaining, one of the most entertaining national championship games. They're well matched. Right, they've got some players that can play off of each other, and it ended up really getting kind of ugly, right, in the second half. I'm not blaming the players. I am blaming the referees. I just think they did a terrible job in the second half, and it cost us all what should have been a game that I thought was going to end somewhere in the 80s or 90s. Okay, so question number two. Why do they play these games in NFL stadiums?
Because they pack them full. I was at the one last year, dude. They are selling so many tickets.
I know, but it's so lame. We have these shooting issues in the Final Four every year. I mean, what was North Carolina from three? Like, 1 for 80? Besides Barry.
I agree with you. I think you got to go somewhere big, like the Marriott Center or the Madison Square Garden. You just got to go somewhere with a lot of seats, but a basketball arena.
It's just the sight lines are terrible.
The seating is a little bit weird because you get down close to the court. You know, you've got the whole, like, your team is seated below the court, which has got to be weird. And it's then weird. The seating's pretty flat. Those first, you know, however many rows that are basically down on the field.
But how close were you last year?
I was in a corner probably 12 rows up or something, okay. 15 rows
so
up.
So you had great seats, right?
Yeah,
you
great seats. Yes.
Sometimes in football stadiums, when I'm way up, I can't see a football game. I feel like, and I've got good eyesight, right? This isn't an eyesight issue, so no jokes about that. I feel like you can't really see what's going on a football game. I can't imagine.
I don't know how anybody's following that basketball game.
You're watching. No, you're not. You're watching. Nowadays, you're either watching it on your phone or watching it on the screen, right? Like, you're not actually watching the game. Like, you can't tell. Okay, so that's question number two. Question number three comes from Dan Roach on Twitter. That's at BruteDR. He says, a math problem. If BYU beat Gonzaga and North Carolina beat Gonzaga and nobody else beat Gonzaga, does it follow that BYU equals North Carolina? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag dreaming. Matt?
The transitive
third place team?
Transitive third place team or transitive second place team?
Second place team, I'm sorry.
No. We're neither, actually.
Would we have
been...
We're
like team 107 or whatever we are.
So you don't believe in transitive national championships?
No.
But we were the only team that beat Gonzaga.
Did we beat them when it counted?
Well, yes, it did count, technically. We got a win. They got a loss.
You gotta get them in the WCC tournament get your automatic bid in and then beat them again.
We didn't get that far.
Did we do those things?
We did not do those things. Yeah, I mean, Dan obviously is just having fun, right?
And everybody is, right? And the best part about it is that it's driving Utah fans on Twitter insane.
Oh, it's I
haven't seen a single serious tweet from a BYU fan, like, really saying...
Nope, not a single one.
Really pushing this agenda. But it's driving people nuts.
It's fantastic, honestly. It is so good that Utah and Utah State fans are all, like, worked up about it. So, Matt, this is the part where I make a sound. Is that annoying enough? From here on out, it's all baseball talk. But before we go, we're going to be off. Did we decide that next week?
I thought we said 2 weeks.
2 weeks off. So we'll be back next week with our NFL draft preview part one. And I'm sure we'll have other BYU stuff to talk about and probably some volleyball as well. But Matt, now it's time for our Major League Baseball preview. Now, last summer we did a listener survey, which we'll do again sometime this offseason here in the next month or two. And we were told resoundingly by our listeners that they hate us talking about Major League Baseball.
Yes.
So how do we respond to that?
Yes, we were. We keep doing it.
We keep doing it, but we're putting it at the end so you can turn it off. Because we used to do this, by the way. Our first couple times, we did it at the beginning. Do you remember that?
We used to include a lot of baseball talk in our banter up front.
Oh, I mean, it was almost during the summer. That. It was all baseball talk. Every single time we'd open with something. Okay, so here we go, Matt. Our Major League Baseball preview. I don't know how long this is going to go. We'll try to keep it. We're already at over 50 minutes, so we'll try to keep this to less than an hour. All right. So, Matt, let's go division by division and pick our winners.
Oh, man.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Matt, American League East, who you got?
American League East? You're going to like this. I'm taking the Sox.
You're taking the Sox. I am also a big, fat homer and taking the Sox. They are projected to be, depending on what projection you look at, the second or third best team typically in the American League. Matt, out of the Central, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Royals.
Really?
Yeah.
That's shocking. I'm going to go with Cleveland. I'm going to take Cleveland again.
Anybody can pick Cleveland again.
I know. I'm going to surprise you here in a second. American League West.
Astros.
For the second year in a row, I'm going to pick, and probably be wrong, the Seattle Mariners, who are already 0-2.
There's a lot of season left.
There's a lot of season left. Astros are who most people are picking in the projections. So, Matt, you've got the Sox, the Royals, and the Stros. Who do you got as your two wildcard teams?
Blue Jays. And the next one's tough.
Next one is tough.
It gets a little bit dicey.
There's a lot of mediocre teams in the American League this year. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't know that there's any truly terrible teams except for maybe the White Sox.
I'm going to go with the Blue Jays and the Rangers.
Blue Jays and the Rangers. Nice picks, nice pick. I am going to go also with the American League ace team, but I'm going to go with the Rays. And I'm going to, my second team is going to be the Astros. All right, Matt. So who you got coming out as your American League champion when all is said and done in the playoffs?
American League champion when all is said and done in the playoffs. I'm going to go with the Rangers. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. But I can't pick the Red Sox.
Sure you can.
I'm picking the Red Sox.
I'm also picking the Red Sox. Big fat homers over here. All right. Love it. Matt, honestly, I think the American League is absolutely wide open this year. I would not be shocked in the American League East if any one of the Red Sox, Blue Jays, Rays, or Orioles made the playoffs. I don't think the Yankees make the playoffs, and that's not
just I love how you left the Yankees out of there. I love it.
I think any of them could make it. In the Central, I think it's the Indians and everybody else. In the West, though, I think it could be anybody. Any of those five teams could
yeah,
could
probably. Make the AL West is pretty wide open.
It's pretty wide open. Though the Astros is not a bad pick. Matt, let's move to the National League, the East. Who you got, you big fat homer?
You know I have to take the Nats here.
Yes, I do. And I'm also picking the Washington Nationals. How about the Central? It's the Cubs.
Yeah, it's the
so
Cubs.
So stop it. Don't pick anybody else. That'd be dumb. The West, who you got?
It's the Dodgers.
I am going to take the San Francisco Giants.
There. I think it's okay.
So we differ a little bit. How about on your wild card teams? It won't end up mattering because I'm going to pick the Dodgers as one of my wild card teams.
Well, see, yeah, and I can hem and haw at the Giants all I want, but that's one of my wild card
teams. Okay, who's your other wild card team?
The Cardinals.
My other wild card team is the New York Mets. The New York Mets.
Look at you.
So who comes out of the National League, Matt?
The Nationals.
Of course.
It's their league. Their league, baby.
I am going to predict that it's once again the Chicago Cubs for a Cubs-Red Sox World Series. So, Matt.
That actually would be pretty cool, the Cubs-Red Sox World Series.
That would be pretty cool. It would have been cooler if they had hit the World Series and both still were trying to break their, like, century-long thing.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty cool. So who's got the longest thing without winning a World Series now?
I think it's University of Utah.
Yeah, they haven't won a World Series. That's true. They never have, ever. That's like eternity.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it the Mariners?
I have no idea.
I'll have to Google that.
We'd have to Google machine that.
Well, why don't you Google machine that?
All right. Why don't you talk, get long winded about something.
That doesn't sound like me. Matt, I think the National League is not as wide open. I think the teams we talked about are the only teams that really have legitimate shots at playoff spots.
Oh, here we go. Wow. The Google machine is fast.
All right, so who we got from the Google machine? What do they tell us?
Listen to this. All right. So if you count teams who've won... Who've won one? You go to the Cleveland Indians, who won their last championship
yes.
in 1948.
Yes.
Okay. Then the team behind them, the next team behind them, is the Pirates from 1979.
Okay.
So that's kind of modern era, or maybe is that considered modern era?
78.
The 70s and 80s.
I think so.
So, but you've got the Rangers, Astros, Brewers, Padres, Nationals, Mariners. Rockies, Rays,
all these expansion teams
who've never won one.
Who've never won one,
right?
Man, that's
kind
of crazy.
If you look at, but on this list, it's like the Rangers. You know, franchise began in 1961.
That's a long time.
Yeah, you know, Astros. They're going back to the Expos days, obviously to 62. I'm sorry, the Nationals to 69.
Yeah, Nationals to 69. It's kind of crazy, right? You've got a bunch of those expansion teams that have never, and in some cases, like Seattle has hardly ever come close. Like
right.
They had that awesome, what'd they win, 102 10 games that one year.
They've never been to the World Series.
But they've never been to the series. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there's two teams that have never even been to the World Series, the Nationals and the Mariners.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say, I was pretty sure the Nationals were the other ones. So if your Nats go, they will have erased that one and be happy to have it behind them. So, Matt, let's talk
Mariners
about...
Mariners in their dust.
That's right, Mariners. Suck it. Let's talk about awards. American League MVP, Matt, who you got?
Come on. Who do you think I got here? You really need to ask me this
Mike
question?
Mike Trout?
Yeah.
I would take Mike Trout over the field. That's how confident I am that Mike Trout wins it. And by the way, if he's healthy and he doesn't win it, shame on you, voters.
Shame I mean, you see, you. You see people talking about other candidates in here, but there's nobody else on this list. On any, well, I looked up a couple lists, but nobody else. I mean, really, you don't strike fear into the heart of opposing teams the way Mike Trout does. None of these guys.
He's the best player in baseball, hands down. There's nobody else that's really that close. I really wish people would stop talking about it, especially Nats fans with Harper. Okay, especially you guys.
No, listen, I'm leaving that one alone because if I think if you went across the board, you went across both leagues and started asking me that question, I'm still leaning Trout.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah.
I mean, he's the best player in baseball right now.
Yes. Last year, according to FanGraphs, he had 9.4 wins above replacement. The next best was Chris Bryant, who won the National League MVP, who had 8.4. He was a win better. Okay, that's the same difference between Chris Bryant and Jose Altuve. Okay, so keep that in mind. That's not a bagging on Altuve, who's a fine player. All right, Matt, National League MVP, who you got?
Here, though, I am going Homer, and I'm going to take Harper.
I'm going to take Corey Seager of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Of course you are. You just can't take Harper.
And my dark horse pick, I've taken Harper before. I think I took him last year, you big whiner.
You're a whiner.
My dark horse pick is Giancarlo Stanton. If he's healthy, maybe he puts together a special year, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little bit of a stretch there. If I were to pick a dark horse there, I'd probably go Anthony Rizzo, but he's probably not as much of a dark horse as Stanton would be.
No. But yeah, that's an interesting pick too, Matt. American League Cy Young.
You know, I'm probably going Corey Kluber.
I was actually going to lean Kluber as well. I want to do the homer pick with Chris Sale, but
I don't think it's going to happen like that. I just
what about it, you know, I don't know. Kluber and Sale. It's 1A and 1B, I guess.
Yeah, you look at some of the other names that people are throwing about, and I think some of these guys are kind of past their prime.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to get it out of them this year.
Yu Darvish, is that who you're talking about?
Yu Darvish is a perfect example of who I'm talking about.
Nationally, Cy Young is like the American League MVP. I'm taking Kershaw over the field. Matt?
I don't even think it's a contest. You can almost hand him the trophy now.
It's all about health, right? If he's healthy, he wins it. If
he's
not,
just so dominant,
somebody else wins it. You know,
it's not him, it could be anybody. It could be somebody we wouldn't even talk about if we ran down a list.
No, it absolutely could be somebody we're not talking about. That if we ran down, say, the top five candidates or six candidates, it could be somebody else. I think.
But does anybody control a game the way he does?
No.
I mean, when he's healthy and in his zone. No. I mean, there's nobody like him right now.
There are other very good pitchers, but no. There is nobody quite like him. If you go again to the FanGraphs win above replacement, he wasn't the top last year because of injury, right? Let me see here. Where is he? But you know, you look at that and you go, but if he's healthy, he wins it, right? I mean, if he's healthy, yeah. it's all him. And that is, I mean, last year, that's right. He didn't qualify for the ERA title. Okay. He only had 149 innings pitched, right? 21 starts. And he still led all of baseball in wins above replacement for a starting pitcher.
Which is insane.
Okay. So, I mean, honestly, a player that I think is a dark horse for this, if say something does go wrong with Kershaw, is Strasburg. I think Strasburg.
Yeah, I could see that, but
health is an issue for him too.
Yeah, that's what you got to wait for him to kind of make that jump again.
But 11 Ks per nine inning, over 11 Ks per nine inning last year, Matt, and gave up less than a homer per nine innings. I think people just assume like, the whole Strasburg ship has sailed. He's still a really good pitcher.
And he's still young. And I know, he's got the injury and all this, but that's not what it was 10 years ago.
No.
And that surgery is way more common than it used to be. And a lot of guys come back in a couple years later, throw the season of their career. And so, I'm definitely not off the Strasburg wagon.
No.
I love the pitchers on my team as much as any other guy, right? Strasburg, Scherzer, and these guys. But a healthy Kershaw is a tough one to overcome.
Yeah. Yeah. So Matt, that's our baseball preview. How excited are you for baseball?
I'm ready to buy like extra iPads to just keep places where I find myself at different times, just to make sure I have something to pull up and watch baseball on. That's the point I'm at. I don't want to worry about carrying it around. I just want to think about everywhere I might be where there's a baseball when there is a baseball game going on and pre-position stuff.
Yes, yes. Well, I now did I tell you my new car? I have Apple CarPlay.
Oh my gosh,
it's phenomenal. It's awesome. And I was listening as I was driving from a work dinner to go pick up my two oldest daughters at church. I was listening to the Red Sox in the car through my radio. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. And I've got a new Apple TV too because I'm an absolute like just Apple guy now, which is weird because I used to make fun of Apple guys, but you used to make fun of geeks, and you're one. So it happens.
We all change. The words of Rocky Balboa.
If he can change, and I can change. What are they saying in Russian in that? Like,
not all the stuff he's saying.
Go get a slice of bread.
No, it's similar to what he's saying. It's just shortened because nobody wants to listen to the Russian interpreter talk while they're watching that movie.
No, nobody does. But anyway, I love baseball. I'm sorry, listeners who don't love baseball, but I love baseball. I could watch baseball every day. Every day.
And you're about to.
And I will watch it quite a bit. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. You can tell your friends and your neighbors, as we mentioned. We will be back next week for part one of our NFL Draft podcast. We'll take a week off, and then we'll do another NFL Draft look right before the draft and talk about where we think those some of the BYU guys will end up. And Matt, just quickly on an NFL note, if the Patriots trade for Richard Sherman, is it just hand him the trophy time?
Yeah, pretty much.
We may already be there.
I won't even mind having him on the team.
What, you don't like Sherman?
He gets a little
lippy.
It's a little lippy.
I like Sherman. I'd be fine.
But the lippiness doesn't bother me when you're delivering, right? Which is why I don't really dislike him.
Right. Well,
because he is pretty good.
He's definitely very good. And if Malcolm Butler leaves,
he's a Stanford guy. You're okay because he's just not at Stanford anymore.
That's right.
You can forgive him that.
That's right. That's right. All right. I know people that went to Stanford that I like. Right. Like, we all make mistakes in our life, and I can look past those. He went to Stanford.
Wow, you're the bigger man, I guess.
Yeah. I am. I am the bigger man. But just because you went for Stanford and made a terrible personal decision that likely has tainted you in certain aspects.
It is a decent school. I mean, it's not.
I think you're giving it too much credit. I think it's overrated. I say that. I also, there's a lot of people I know that went to Stanford and I like them. So I shouldn't say that. But man, I can't stand that school. Oh, well. And that's not bitterness, by the way, for new listeners. I just don't like Stanford.
Never have.
Yeah. Don't get me started. Don't get me started, Matt. We're an hour and 10 minutes into this podcast. We don't need a 20-minute Stanford rant. Though more people may be interested in that than our baseball preview.
Yeah, but those people have all shut off the podcast by now.
That's right. That's right, they have. So hashtag, what should our hashtag, our made it to the end hashtag be this week?
Baseball is awesome. No, that's too long.
That's too long. How about this? Hashtag BYU MLB.
There you go.
Hashtag BYU MLB. If you made it to the end and you're listening to us say this right now, send it to us. I'm sure there'll be two or three of you that do. That'll be probably about it.
Or a couple of people who listen to the podcast frequently know that we're going to be putting this hashtag out. So they're going to fast forward through the baseball preview just to get the hashtag.
Hey, listen to... I should have said this before. Maybe I'll put it in the intro that you should listen to the MLB preview at like 3x.
Oh, yes.
So it'll be entertaining. Or slow it way down and do it at like a half.
And I'm kind of I'm kind of tired today, so I'm sure if you slow me down, I'm gonna sound awesome.
We've had a couple of late nights with kids, so I'm very tired today, and I'm sure it'd sound awesome. Well, anyway, thank you for downloading and listening. We will of course catch you next time on the Rise and Shout podcast.
Go Cougars!